prayer with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Christ our Lord. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, that he would rend the heavens and come down.
Let the mountains strike quake at your presence.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits.
And in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning.
More than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love.
And with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel
from all his iniquities.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty and ever-living God, you strengthened your apostle Thomas with firm and certain faith in the resurrection of your Son. Grant us such faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, that we may never be found wanting in your sight. Through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you must weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Syria." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world and those who dwell therein.
For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully.
He will receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The reading from the St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 1st chapter. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he had promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son.
And they shall call his name Emmanuel.
Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 1st chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
O Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means "God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the Gospel reading, Matthew 1, especially verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. This is our text. Christmas has a particular feeling and reputation. If you were asked to describe the Christmas season, you might use words like peace and light. You might describe it as a time of joy and celebration, as a festive gathering of family and friends. And for many, that's exactly what Christmas is. It lives up to that reputation. But not for everyone. Not everyone experiences Christmas as a time of peace and light and joy and celebration and family and friends. Some find Christmas to be chaotic and confusing, even exhausting and frustrating. There's a whirlwind of activity, there's pressure and expectation, there are uncertain and messy relationships to navigate, there may be health concerns or financial stresses. For some, Christmas has baggage. It means disappointment, loneliness, worry, and the feeling that life has gotten out of control. Meet Joseph, a man who didn't have a Hallmark Christmas full of peace and joy, even though he made it on the front of almost every Christmas card. Joseph, whose Christmas felt exhausting and chaotic, frustrating, and uncertain. You see, as we meet Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, he's a man whose life is not going according to his plan. He finds himself in the middle of a story that he didn't write, playing a role that he never expected to have, saddled with responsibilities and duties that he hadn't signed up for. I don't know what your picture of Joseph is, but we don't get a very large description of him in the scriptures, although I think we've formed ideas of him in our mind. We know that he was betrothed to Mary. And from that, we build this sort of image of who Joseph was. We picture him to be a man diligently preparing a home and a life for his soon-to-be bride. We imagine him working hard in his carpentry shop, or maybe sweating away at a large public works project in the nearby city of Sepphoris. He's a man who earns his living honestly. He has a plan to provide for himself and his wife and whatever children the Lord will give to them in the future. I can picture Joseph while he's working away, perhaps thinking down the road 5, 10, 20 years, organizing his work and his family life in a way that's quiet, simple, and faithful. A man who thinks he knows what the future will bring and who is in control of his life and his future until the bombshell drops that we find in Matthew chapter 1. You're engaged to be married and your wife is already pregnant and the child is not yours. But going back to this picture of Joseph as a man in control of his life, planning and preparing his life, I think that can describe most of us in a way as well. We would rather be in control of events happening in our lives than to be caught up in events beyond us. We spend our time organizing our lives, time trying to find the right balance between maybe work and home or whatever other responsibilities we have. We're constantly rethinking the boundaries that we've established in our lives with others or with the things that we do. We're always wanting to be the ones in charge, planning out the next 5 or 10
or 20 years, thinking that we know what's going to happen and we're going to see it through. I wonder if sometimes our control and our planning, though, a little bit like Joseph's, is all about us and not so much about following the path and plan that our God has laid out for us. How often might we, in our plans or our preparing or our desire for control, run right over the people who are around us, ignoring their needs, pushing aside the things that are required to serve them? How often might we be willing, in order to control and plan and be in charge of our lives, to also ignore God's own word? Maybe not fully, but in part. Something that God tells us to do or not to do that we find inconvenient or unhelpful for our life at the time, we'll just set that one aside. Because we know what we want, and we know how we want life to go. And God forbid that he or anyone else should get in our way. And we meet Joseph, a man whose life didn't go according to plan. This is how Matthew tells his story. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I mean, that was a bomb dropped in Joseph's life. To find out that his wife is pregnant with a child, or his soon-to-be wife is pregnant with a child that is not his, and suddenly Joseph's control over his world and life is crumbling. Things are happening that are above and beyond him. This is the birth, the coming of Jesus Christ. God is the one in control. Yet Joseph still thinks that he can kind of manage the situation. You see how difficult this is for him. He found the virgin birth hard to believe, as many people have for hundreds and even thousands of years. He found this announcement a shock to the system. I'm sure it led him to many sleepless nights. What will he do? How will he act? How can he take control of this situation again? And so he comes up with his plan. He's a just and a righteous man. He's not going to drag Mary's name through the mud. He's not going to haul her out for public stoning. He's not going to destroy her or ruin her reputation. But he certainly can't marry this woman. Not now. So he does what a just and righteous man would do. He decides he's going to divorce her quietly. He'll make sure she's set up with a life where she can live, but he's not going to make her his bride. Until in the middle of the night, an angel comes to him in his dreams. And the angel tells him that what Mary has said is true, that this child is not the child of some other man, but this is the very Son of God, conceived in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. The virgin shall conceive and have a son. And Joseph in that moment is challenged with the question of, will he go with the plans that he has, the control that he had in mind over his own life, or will he take what God gives? Will he receive what God wills? Will he enter into what God has called him to? We meet Joseph, a man who is faithful. Faithful not only to his bride, but faithful to the role assigned to him by God through the angel. A man who is willing to set aside all the plans and dreams and desires that he had to carry out the work that God has given to him. We see that not only today in our reading, but this is going to have an effect on Joseph for the rest of his life. Next Sunday, we will be observing Holy Innocence, that moment when Herod hearing about the birth of this newborn king, decides he will exterminate that child and any other in Bethlehem who might be a threat to him. And Joseph's life is upended again as he takes the child and his mother and flees to Egypt. But here in this moment, Joseph is willing to receive what God gives. He wakes from sleep and he does as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He takes Mary to be his wife. But he knows her not until she has given birth to a son, and he calls that son's name Jesus. He takes this child that doesn't belong to him, but is given to him from God as a gift, and he finds that true joy and true freedom in life are not in what he can control, but in what he receives from God, in what God is doing, in what God is giving. Because God is doing something better than what Joseph had in mind. God is doing something larger than what Joseph possibly could have conceived of. Joseph is part of a story that will bring salvation to the world through this Son of God, who is the Son of Mary, whose name is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Today you also are called to receive this same gift, the gift of this same child who was given to Joseph. And you are called today to receive a gift from God, being called into a life that is not simply in your control, but is in his control. A life that is under his plans and his purposes, which are bigger than you and bigger than me. You are called into a life that God, in which God is working the salvation of the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. What did Joseph have to add or contribute to that moment? Could Joseph have interrupted the angel and said, "Well, actually, I was thinking that it should go this way"? Joseph had nothing to add, everything to receive. This child, this calling, this salvation that God was working through his Son. What about you? What about me? When life throws us a curveball that comes from a direction we didn't expect, when the plans we had for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years or tomorrow don't turn out the way that we were expecting, when God throws something else into our path, maybe someone else with the need they have, someone else to care for or to love, or who needs his mercy, will we receive that moment from him? And with that moment, will we receive the greater gift that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we are enabled to carry out our duties and responsibilities, not as those who are in charge, but as those who have the gift of forgiveness and salvation. You might wonder why it was so important for the Virgin to conceive and give birth. We confess it in our creeds, the virgin birth conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. This is not a side idea in the Christian faith or a secondary thing. This is central to what we confess. As the angel told Mary, she will bear a son, or Joseph, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And it all took place to fulfill what was written in the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here we have the heart of the Christian faith. Here we have a birth unlike any birth that has ever taken place, conception and birth, unlike any conception and birth that has taken place before. For all of us, like Joseph, like Mary, like the saints of the New and Old Testaments, all of us were conceived from the union of a man and a woman. And all of us were conceived and born with sin. We call it original sin, what we've inherited from our parents, who inherited it from their parents, who inherited it all the way back to Adam. A nature that is fallen and corrupted and against God and his ways. and a nature that gives rise to other evils and to death. Jesus was conceived and born in a different way. True man, he received his humanity from his mother Mary, but without sin. A new man, with a new life and a new purpose. One who was born in such a way that he would not be bringing sin into the world with him, but rather he would be taking sin from the world to the cross. One who must be like us in every way except able to blot out the sin of the world. One who would be the unblemished sacrifice for sin. And it's all there in his name, Jesus, who will and does save his people from their sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in this way so that he could be our brother, but not a sinner. So that he could be our great high priest to forgive our sin and bestow life upon us as Adam's children. Life upon us who have lived in the shadow of death. Life upon us who have often felt the world spinning out of control and wondering what God is doing and how he is at work. And our Lord has come, full of grace and life, to be the God who saves, the Lord who saves. And we confess his name again today. You have said it already in the creed. Jesus is Lord. He is the God of Israel. Yahweh, come in human flesh to rescue us and be our redemption, to take control of our chaotic lives, to be with us through the exhaustion and the frustration and the loneliness and the discouragement, to assist us to navigate the relationships that we have, even the ones that are challenging. This is what Christmas is about. Jesus, who will save and has saved and continues to save us from our sins. So whatever other feelings or associations you may get with Christmas, whether it brings great joy and peace and light or some dread and frustration into your life, remember this. The most important thing about Christmas is the thing that Joseph also received and that you receive today as well. Your Lord Jesus Christ, come in the flesh with his forgiveness and with his salvation. For God is with us, and God is for us, and God is our forgiveness, and God is our salvation at every time, including Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, you have kept your word and delivered to us your own Son by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin. Guide us so that we may rejoice in the word made flesh and in the redemption won for us by his holy life, life-giving death and resurrection. Bless all pastors that they may faithfully preach and teach this gospel and send more workers into the harvest field. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you raised up Joseph, a man honorable and just, to be the guardian and earthly father to your Son. Give all earthly fathers wisdom, patience, pride of duty, and above all faith and loyalty to your word, knowing that by your true guardianship they may head their households with godly forbearance. We pray this especially for Paul, Tack, and Christian, whose wives are expecting. And we pray that you would bless Jamie, Catherine, and Emma, and all expectant mothers and their unborn child. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, bless the mission offerings we give today and the missions and mercy work that we support with our gifts and prayers, especially the LCMS Eurasia missions, Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio serving in Italy, the Siberian Lutheran Church and Seminary, the Confessional Lutheran Church of Italy, Pastor Lorenzo, Pastor Joshua, and Christus Victor Parish in Rome, the Reverend Jensen and his family serving in Germany, the Malagasy Lutheran Church in Madagascar, especially the Lutheran Hospital in Ancyrabe, and the Lutheran Heritage Foundation in their work of translating and publishing. Be with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Matthew, our president, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and seminarians Matthew and Nathaniel. We pray that you would bless the work of Luther Classical College. We ask your blessing upon our New England district and Robert, our president, the Lakes Region Lutheran Fellowship in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, the LCMS grade schools in Keene, Bristol, and Danbury, First Concern in Clinton and Marlboro, CareNet in Fitchburg, Clearway Clinic, Problem Pregnancy, and the Imago School. We ask, Lord, for each of these institutions that you would guide their work and grant that much good would be done in our world. And most of all, we pray that your Son, our Savior, and his mercy would be known around the world, in our nation, and in our local communities. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, have mercy on us and spare our nation. Clear away all empty shows of piety and renew genuine faith in the Virgin Son, that his coming at the last may not be a sign against us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are the giver of every good gift, and you care for us in all our needs of body, mind, and spirit. Grant healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, peace to the dying, and comfort to those who mourn, especially to our sister Luann in her healing, Mike and Ted for peace and restored health as they go into surgery, for Brady, Hattie, and their families through the trials these little ones face, for Kate, giving thanks for her treatment that she might remain cancer-free, for Robert and Diane that you would grant good care in his hospitalization and a steady return to health. For Ralph's granddaughter, Carlene, that you would give her peace as she awaits the healing of her wrists. And for Jenny May's son-in-law and daughter, Rick and Teresa, as he continues to recover from surgery, that you would be with him through every up and down. According to your gracious will, sustain all of these by your grace and give them patience and courage as they await the unfolding of your healing grace. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant your love to our homebound, to Donna, Georgia, Barbara, Ruth, Eleanor, Edith, Jeanette, and Andrea.
Give comfort to all who struggle through the Christmas season and New Year, and be their peace. Lord, in your mercy. Grant, Holy Father, that all who eat this holy feast may find in the Savior's body and blood deep joy and a blessed foretaste of the feast to come. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, grant that as we recall with thanksgiving the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, we may always confess him and remain watchful for his advent in glory at the last day. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant, John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's psalm is Psalm 80, verses 1 to 7. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, who you lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh amongst themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
His countenance upon you and give you peace.